Now, let's get down to business because I'm delighted to be joined in studio this afternoon by my first guest. She is Dinglewoman Mags Reardon. And Mags is here to tell us about a documentary about her life, which is going to be shown on Thursday night, this Thursday night, on RT1 at 10:15. And it's called In the Name of the Sun. Mags, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much, Deirdre.
Thank you for coming in from Dingle on a rainy day in March to see us. How are you feeling ahead of the documentary being aired? Are you a bit of trepidation, a bit of nerves?
No, not really. Not really to fear or trepidation, just it's going to happen, that's it.
Yeah. Is it very personal, though? I mean, there's a lot of your personal story coming out in this.
Yeah, it is. It is very personal. I've obviously seen it already, so I know what's coming. Yeah, it is personal, but you know, I've been living with this story for 20 years, so there isn't much left to kind of dig up as such, and so yeah, I'm quite okay with it.
Why did you agree to do it? What was the thinking behind it?
To be honest with you, the main thinking behind it was to draw attention to the project and to try and raise some more money, because we now want to build a maternity unit. We have been there nearly 20 years now, but we have never added a maternity unit to the facilities. We sort of did it in stages, and we're now at the stage where we want to build a maternity unit, and we need money to build a maternity unit.
So it's all publicity that helps to fund the work you're doing.
Absolutely.
I suppose I better go back to the start, really, because there may be some people listening who are not familiar with the story. As I said, the name of the documentary is In the Name of the Sun. The son in question is your late son, Billy. And all of this starts with him, really, doesn't it? Will you tell us a bit about him?
Yeah, it all, as the name suggests. I mean, the name of the organisation is the Billy Reardon Memorial Trust, and the name of the clinic in Malawi is the Billy Clinic, and the local people even call the people that work at the clinic the Billies.
The Billies.
Billies.
So lovely.
That's what people are known as. It started back in 1999 when Billy was travelling to Malawi, which is a small country in Sub-Saharan Africa. He had been there on two previous occasions, and this was his third visit, and unfortunately this was to be his last. He spent some time there in 97 and in 96, 97 and 99, and he had always said to me, you must go and visit it. It's a beautiful country, it's a beautiful area. And when he was there in 1999, he drowned in Lake Malawi. Now, Malawi is a country that is, two-thirds of the country is actually lake. It's a small country land-wise, but it's very heavily populated, and the lake is 365 miles long by 52 miles wide. So it's a very big lake. So Billy died in February 1999, and so, because he had said, you know, he would really like me to go and visit, I decided on the occasion of his first anniversary I would go out and see what he had been talking about. And so I arrived there in February 2000, and I was shocked and appalled and horrified at what I met when I got there. I went into the village where Billy had been. At that time, there was a population of about 14,000 people, and no access to healthcare of any description. And so, you know, coming from the West and being a spoiled Westerner, as I refer to myself as, I just thought, this is unacceptable. This isn't right. This is completely, completely skewed what we have in the West by comparison to what these people have here. But originally I was looking into doing something in education, because that's that was my original background. And but I wasn't there very long when I realised that really there was no point in helping with the education until there was healthcare and people and
absolutely,
children in particular lived long enough to go to school and to avail of any education that may be on offer in the future. So in October 2003, I came home, and I went back a couple of times between 2000 and 2003. I did a lot of fundraising, and in October 2003, I went back and we started constructing the clinic. And so in August 2004, we opened the clinic. It was, at that time, it was just an outpatient clinic with one doctor, one nurse, and seven or eight support staff. Then in 2008, because at that stage Malawi was beginning to get in the grip of HIV, so in 2008 we realised we needed a HIV clinic, a building to look after HIV patients. So that was when we opened the second building, 2008. And then we set up a very big HIV clinic at that stage. And then in 2016, we decided we were running out of space. We're constantly running out of space. We're still running out of space. So we put up a third building. And you know, as the buildings grew, so the facilities that we were offering to the people grew. And as of today, we now have an inpatient service, so people are admitted to the clinic. We have a large HIV clinic. Mm-hmm. Then we run free clinics for asthma, epilepsy, diabetes, every month, and patients coming there get their drugs for free.
And this all came out of fundraising, Max.
Yeah. It all came out of fundraising. It has all come from the generosity of more or less individual people all over those years. We've never looked for funding from the big organisations, you know, like UNICEF or UN, anywhere. We have never received any money. We have done all the fundraising. We were established as a charity in America in 2008, and so the committee in America do some fundraising as well, but everything has been done with donations from individuals.
From ordinary people,
and it's testament to the generosity of ordinary people if they're shown where the money is going and how it's being spent, they're very happy to donate.
Was Billy someone who had a social conscience? Was he someone who was aware of the world around him, or was he over there for adventure, or what
had,
originally?
He had a huge lust for travel.
Yeah.
You know, he was only just 25, but he had been to Southeast Asia, he had been to Australia, he'd been to South America, he'd been to Africa on a couple of occasions. And this was all done in between getting his degree. Mm-hmm. So he had a huge lust for travel. I think that was really it. I think, you know, he just wanted to see more places.
What do you think he would have made of all this?
He'd probably just say, my mother is mad.
Maybe he would. And of course, in the centre of this, and I know that, you know, that there's a very personal story, like I mentioned at the start, but you lost two other children as well. In awful circumstances.
Yeah, that was before Billy. I mean, Billy Bull hadn't been born. So I lost two. I lost another son and a daughter much earlier on.
Much earlier on. And do you think all of this, you know, the tragedies you've had in your life, Mags, you've been able to channel this into something so positive? Has it been therapeutic? Has it been cathartic in a way?
Yeah, I think it has. I think it has. But, you know, I get asked this question all the time.
I know, yeah.
And, you know, what I say to people really is when something like this happens, you have only two options. There are two options. There you either you know, go under it, or you just survive and you just get on with things. And I think, you know, when things happen, it's not just yourself. You have to look around and see your family, your children, whoever, you know, they depend on you not going under as well. And so if you go under, inevitably you'll probably bring more people with you. Whereas if you can find the strength to fight whatever it is has happened, it's in the long run, it's better for everybody.
Do you think by watching this film about your life and the work in Malawi that it might in some way help people who have had awful tragedies in their lives it might give them a little bit of hope?
I would hope so. I would hope that it would. I would hope that it would just help to show people that there is a way through. It's not always easy. And, you know, if you have the support or if you have the reason to have to get through, that obviously helps as well. But yeah, I would hope that it would maybe help some people to sort out their lives.
Yeah, and to get some strength from somewhere. Where do you think you got the strength from? Was it something that was always in you?
I think it probably was. I think it's probably nurture and nature combined. I can't give any other explanation. I think that's what you have to put it down to.
Yeah, of course they say we don't know how we'll cope with anything until it happens, and then we're thrown into it.
Well, I think that's very true. I think until you're actually faced with the situation in life, no matter what it is, you really don't know how you're going to react. And you know, very often people have strengths inside that they don't really know they have until they're put to the test, and then they find the strength.
How much of your life is now spent over in Malawi? How hands-on are you?
Pretty hands-on. I used to spend a lot of time most of the year, but in the last year and a half, because the clinic is expanding and we will down the line be a full-blown hospital, I realised that I really needed to take, we needed to take on a partner, because you know, the number of staff, the amount of facilities that we have, the services we're offering, I couldn't continue fundraising to service this on an ongoing basis. So in September 2021, we joined forces with an organisation called the Christian Health Association of Malawi. So they now have taken over the responsibility for the 35 local staff that are working at the clinic. In other words, that they look after their salaries, their pensions, their holidays, all this stuff. So that's all been taken off my shoulders now. So now I can concentrate on just getting on with the expansion of the hospital without having to worry about the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, okay. And you mentioned at the outset that your a maternity clinic is on your radar now. That's what you're focusing on.
Yes.
Will you ever be finished, do you think?
Probably not. But the maternity unit is necessary, because you know we're 30 miles from the nearest maternity hospital, which is a very small hospital. It's over a dirt road. And for instance, in the last few weeks, as people know, Malawi has been hit with Cyclone Freddy, and all the roads in and out of our village are gone. So if somebody needs to go and be delivered of a baby now, they're going to have a problem getting to the hospital, and so we need to have a maternity unit attached to the clinic. We've expanded everything else, including we even do cataract surgery at the clinic now, and so maternity unit is really the next logical step. And I think to look after the women in the clinic, the women in the village, we need to look after the women at the clinic.
It sounds like your work is going to go on for a long time to come yet, Megs. Unfortunately, I have to finish up with you, but it's on Thursday night, RTE1. At 10:15, it's called In the Name of the Sun. And if people want to find out more about the work you do...
Yeah, if people would like to find out more, or if they would like maybe to donate towards the maternity unit, they can find everything on www.billysmalawiproject.org.
BillysMalawiProject.org.
It's all one word, BillysMalawiProject.org. That's our website.
It sounds almost trite to say it, but well done. You're a phenomenal woman, incredible woman, and it's been an honour to meet you, and keep up the good work. Thank you
very
so much for joining us.
Thank you.